Blog Talk Radio.
To the panic room. I'm X Tina, the Dark Poet Princess, and joining me is the delightfully scary Michael No. Are you there, Michael? Hello.
Oh, wait, there I am.
There you
that.
Are. Yay.
How are you? I forgot to hit the mute button.
Oh, God. I've said that a few times today.
Show.
Oh, God.
I know. I've heard it.
It's my first show. How have you been?
No, a few hiccups here and there.
No, it's not your first show.
My first show co-hosting. I mean, no.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. So how has your week been?
It's been good. Hot and muggy, yeah. But other than that, not too bad. How about you?
Not bad. Not bad. It's the second week of back to school for my kid, and we're trying to get into that whole crappy schedule there where I get up way too damn early. You know, I hate mornings, so it really, really sucks.
Oh, yeah.
But I normally can go back to sleep. Well, I can normally go back to sleep, but then after I do that, then I feel crappy when I wake up at like noon, you know. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do. He should probably get his ass to school by himself, you know. I mean, why do I have to do that?
How old is he?
He's 12. He's old enough, right?
Oh, but yeah. Get him some bagels. He'll be fine. No, yeah, he can do it.
Throw the bag out the door and unlock it, you know, when he runs out the door.
Exactly. Get a fishing pole with some snacks on it. There you go. Just throw it at him.
You know, that would probably work for him. He's a boy. You know, I mean, I'm sure that would work.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I could deal with some snacks in the morning.
I'm not a morning person at all. So, no, I don't want to eat in the morning. I don't want to be talked to in the morning. Don't even really look at me, you know.
I've seen those posts, man. It's like, I will cut you. Yeah. I will throw a brick at your face. I've seen them. I'm not kidding.
And I feel them all. I do. In the deep depths of my core, I feel them all.
Oh, yeah. It shows. Every morning there's a nice one. I'm like, oh, yeah, you've seen this up. Yeah.
I know.
Not even going to say nothing. Stay from a distance. It's safer that way.
I had one that said there was a girl flipping off people, and it said, please die. And, you know, later on in the daytime when I saw that, I'm like, oh, that's really harsh, isn't it?
I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I think my favorite one is, like, will like throw a brick at your head or something, or you know.
Oh God, no, that was okay, see, there's a story behind that one. It's you've seen the show Dexter. Have you seen Dexter?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Okay, I love Dexter, I do. And his foster sister Deborah on the show, she's got like this really bad potty mouth, and one of her lines were, shit a brick and fuck me with it. So
that was the one.
Yeah, I know. And that is the one that I don't even think about it, because to me it's just a line from the show. But I've been told it really is pretty raunchy. But it's still kind of how I feel in the morning. So, I mean, not that I want to be fucked with a brick or anything. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But, you get the point.
Imagine. Yeah. Imagine
and this
being
is
stuck
the
in the elevator.
We moved to prime time.
Yeah, James was telling me it's a lot easier, so that way, you know, it's later in the afternoon for you. Had a couple, you know, a chance to mellow out a little.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's easier for me because I get off to work at 3. It's, you know, if the show starts at 4:30, I've got like an hour to come in the house, drop all my gear, and call my computer. It's a little easier for me.
Yeah, and I have all day to think about it, so, you know. But I'm on my second beer now, so I think I'm okay.
There you go. I'm half a cup of coffee in, so good.
So
who do we have on the show this evening? I know we have Kendra waiting patiently. She just messaged me. She said she's going to sneeze, so we should unmute her now.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if she's still there. I got to figure out which one she is. There we go. I'm still learning the hang of the board, so, you know, I'm getting some slack. like a bunch of calls here on hold. I'm like, who are half of these people? All right, here we go. And then we're going to bring in Kendra. Kendra, did you sneeze yet?
Well, hello.
Hey,
hello, how are you? What's a smooth transition. I'm proud of myself.
Yay.
I was hoping you would sneeze.
Ah, nope.
Oh, how are you this evening?
Doing pretty good. It's late for me, so I've just been trying to stay awake, but I'm good.
I know.
Hey, wait,
I'm on Eastern time.
And it's still not that late, you guys. Come on. Now I'm up until like 3 or 4 in the morning most of the time. What time is it for you, Kendra?
It is about, oh, God, what time is it? I can't see the clock. What? 10:45.
See, 10:45, you're talking about I'm trying to stay awake? Oh, my goodness, you people are killing me.
Yeah. Well, normally I take a dose of melatonin at like 10, so I kind of didn't do that. So now I'm just...
It's a melatonin, so that'll do it.
Yeah.
So we have Kendra Saunders here to talk about her book, The Harvested. And can you tell us a little bit about that, Kendra?
Well, that book is actually one of my favorites. It is a science fiction dystopian, but it does have some horror elements. It is about this girl that she has this ability to... It starts out as telekinesis, but it evolves into something so much more terrifying. Basically, I don't really want to give anything away, but she can basically cause, and if you guys know what this is, she can cause like nuclear fission inside someone's body. It's pretty deep,
oh, wow.
I think. But basically, she's had this, right? She's had this secret for years, and then all of a sudden there's this government testing because they made some kind of discovery about the next step in evolution. It just happens to be people with special abilities and all that jazz. So they do these tests to figure out who they are. They kidnap them and experiment on them, basically, to figure out what makes them tick. So that's what that was about.
So I know everybody always asks this question, but hearing what that's about, what gave you the idea? How did you come up with an idea like that?
I'm not entirely sure. Sometimes I just have ideas come out of nowhere, but I know I was watching a lot of Heroes at the time.
I actually have never seen that show, but I it's one of my aunt's favorites, so I've always wanted to start watching it. And
it's a great
show. Did you have a reading for us, Kendra?
I'm sorry, did I what?
Did you have a reading ready for us?
I did. Dang it. Why did I have to do that? I just shut down my computer. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I did have one. Yeah, I did have one. I shut down my computer because
right.
I wasn't thinking.
Now that I heard a little bit about it, I'm anxious to hear this.
It takes
and
a
one
to
question,
pull up, but I have the book right here. Okay, what was that?
Oh, and I'm just waiting on you to find your place. But one question I always ask people because we had been discussing it a little bit earlier was music. Do you have any maybe songs or a playlist or anything that you listen to while you're writing?
Yes, I do. I actually make a playlist for absolutely everything that I write because music for me is really important.
Right.
Like if I get stuck, I can turn something on and I no longer have that blockage. So for me, it's been very, very important in the process.
It is for me as well. I had, I actually had an aha moment not too long ago. I had a short story, and I wanted to expand on it. But I had no idea where I was going, and it just really bothered me so bad. I would sit down to write, and of course I was writing just fine, but I still had no clue what was going to happen. Even the next scene, I had no idea until it would just happen. And then I was listening to a song, and I had that aha moment where I was like, oh my God, I know where I'm going. And it was the most exciting thing. And now I can't wait to keep going and expand it even more. But it is going in a direction that I did not see. So that's kind of weird. It's something that I don't think that I would have thought I'd be writing, if that makes sense. I'm not going to give anything away either. So.
Oh, did you do any notes for it or kind of plan it out? Because I know it's a series, isn't it?
Kendra.
We might have lost her.
Uh-oh.
I think we lost her.
Let's see.
We lost her.
Well, she might call back. So I don't know. But it does happen. So.
live podcast. There she is. I believe that. Yep, there she is.
Yeah, I hear it. I lost you guys, and you were asking something, so then I'm like, what's going on? They can't hear me.
I was like, looking, I'm like, did she go? Because you kept flickering, and I'm like, what I was asking is, it's part of a series, isn't it? Did you have to plan it out, or did it just kind of hit all at once, and you just kind of went from there?
Well, it's a 5-part series, and I'm one of those people who can't really write. I feel too restricted by plans and outlines. I will plan out basic things, but as far as anything too far out into the future, I usually don't.
That makes sense.
So I'm one of those panthers.
I write the same way.
I'm one of those panthers.
Did you say you're a cancer? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm a panther.
Me
basically
too.
Flying
oh
by the seat
goodness.
Of my pants.
Yes. I knew there was a reason I liked you.
Well, there's only one thing that I'm working on that I haven't outlined for, and that's because I'm working on it with somebody else.
I couldn't function
without it.
You know, I've been there too. I was, we're not doing it any longer, but there was somebody that I was kind of writing with for a minute there, and he had this huge layout handy, and you know, all this outline and stuff, and it was actually kind of cool. But no, that's not the way I write either. I just kind of sit down and whatever comes. So I think that's a good way to write. I really do, because it's almost like the story's writing itself. I'm not writing it. I'm just the pen or whatever, you know. It's just being wrote through me. So
exactly.
I like that. Yeah.
So all my stuff's written. Yeah. It's easier that way.
It is a lot easier.
I think so.
I agree.
I had tried to do outlines for some of my stuff and failed miserably. I went off the notes. It was bad. Double bad.
Yeah, I don't know how I would actually be trying to write like that with any kind of actual plans. I have a feeling that I would go off in tangents too, so it might be better that I do it the way that I do.
And sometimes it just works out better that way, because if you have like a strict outline, there's no wiggle room at all. So if you have a new scene that pops up, and put it in.
Yeah,
whereas,
exactly.
You know,
and that's exactly how I feel about it. That's why I'm saying I feel so restricted whenever I use an outline. So I don't really do it unless I absolutely have to. And like when it's a co-authored thing, I'll use one because it's necessary. But if I'm just writing it by myself, I can't do it. I can't.
Too many
so balls. did you find a reading for us, Kendra?
I did find a reading place.
Yay.
Yeah. Sorry, I just have to move my cat. Oh, there we go. Okay, where was I at? Oh, there it is. Sorry. I just happen to have a print of this in the house, so you guys got super lucky.
Yay.
I'm sorry. I get really weird when I read my own stuff out loud.
I can totally understand.
Just a couple of friends having a chat here, so it's fine.
Just imagine everybody in their underwear. You'll be fine. You got this.
The only person in the house is my husband. That wouldn't work for me. Yeah.
I tried to help.
That's okay. You made an effort. All right. Let's see. So this is just kind of towards the end here. But, yeah. Okay. The king ignored him, walking toward me with a syringe raised in the air and making sure I saw it and its contents before stopping in front of me to tap a small air bubble that had formed inside of it. His smile only widened as he took in our expressions, mine full of confusion and fear. Now, time for the coup de grace, a showman at his core for certain. This, my dear, is what those like you have come to fear when I lead them to this room. As you may have noticed, some of your fellow inmates have disappeared and given a choice. Some have made the right decision, he looked at Nero, and some have not. His look of disapproval then fell to me. I'm sure you're wondering what this is, but Caius can enlighten you, can't you? He walked to Caius and kicked his bound foot, causing him to jump nearly out of his skin. He didn't speak, but his body stiffened in response. Caius knew what the serum would do because it had been used on him. 5 years ago, he was brought to this compound and forced to make a decision. He had chosen wrong, according to King, made to watch as what made him different was taken from him and given to another. He was one of the lucky few who were still awake and alive, getting to take in the show as King reigned over us all. You won't tell her? King's amusement was growing as he spoke past the toothpick. He strode past toward me, smiling all the while as he registered my terrified expression. This serum helps me extract your power and give it to someone else, and since I know you won't join me willingly, then this is the only option. Your power is so incredibly unique. He said those last words with reverence in his voice and expression as if he was standing before the Virgin Mary in all her glory. We had brought thousands here over the past 5 years and have never seen anything like you before. I was going to give you a chance to choose, but since you have shown me that you want nothing to do with my plans, this is our only option. Okay. I don't want to give away too much.
Awesome. I wanted to hear more. Like, I was waiting.
I'm sorry, what?
I was waiting to hear more. No, that was really good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't want to give away too much because a little bit farther into that, there's this huge, huge event. So I didn't want to go too far.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, who are some of your influences?
Who are some of my influences?
Who do you read? Who do you look up to?
Well, I don't really get to read a lot these days, but I do have some major influences. Like, if you guys ever get to see my bookshelf in here, and my husband, of course, is, you know, he loves them too. Stephen King is one of them.
Of course,
and,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Anne Rice, and at this point in time, I've really fallen in love with her work. Mira Grant. She has a series called the Parasitology series, which I have fallen completely in love with. Those three have been major contributors to all of the crazy.
I don't think that I don't even think I've ever heard of that person before. Stephen King, though, what's your favorite Stephen King book? Do you have a favorite or a couple of favorites?
The Tommyknockers is actually my favorite one.
Really? That is one I don't ever hear people talking about.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that kind of fell through the cracks somehow.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad one.
Yeah, it really did. And it's a shame because it's amazing.
It is.
I am.
It's one of the last great Stephen King novels.
Yeah, the Tommyknockers, wasn't that... I don't think I was a huge fan of a lot of his, like, alien-type stuff. It wasn't the Tommyknockers, wasn't that, like, aliens?
It was. Yeah. It was about the spaceship that they had found in the ground, and
Yeah.
When his teeth fall out, and then he had like Gerard
is now
the alcoholic.
Now he's starting to become and all that stuff. Yeah, that was that one.
It was
now
very
they,
deep.
I did read it, and I they made a movie. Wasn't there a movie?
How do you pronounce her name? It's like Marg Helgenberger or something like that. The original CSI. Yeah. Yeah, I adore her too. So.
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely like Michael said. It was one of those that kind of fell through the cracks because it really didn't get very big. I don't think.
Right, and it really didn't, and it should. To me, it should have. I mean, what can I say? I'm a massive fan of his, and that one's my favorite. And I don't know, people go, I thought you'd like Carrie more. And I go, well, I do like Carrie, just not more than Tommyknocker.
Right. Oh, Carrie was so good. It really was. Now, the remakes, remakes just sucked, but the original was great. And the book was great. I loved the book. And when you're reading that, you have it almost feels like it was true. I mean, some of those the weird, oh God, I can't even think now. You know, the I Survived the Black Prom or whatever. Those were really, really cool. But it made me think, oh my gosh, this is real. This isn't fiction. This happens. I don't care what you say. It's not funny.
A little bit.
It kind of is.
I know. But that's cool when you're reading a book that you just know, you know, I mean, there's part of you that's like, oh, my gosh, this could really, because I believe in crap like that. I mean, you know, I do. I think that there's a lot of things out there that we can't explain. And, you know, it happens all the time. So.
It does.
Thank you. I feel the exact same way.
No, you know, if we're talking about like vampires and werewolves and stuff like that, I have to be like, oh, I don't know. But when it comes to a, you know, psychic phenomenon and stuff like that, and I love that book. I was thinking for some reason about Cujo the other day, and it's another one of the Stephen King's that I just really, really loved, both the book and the movie. I really did.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome. That was a very dark book.
Yeah, I like the way he takes just a regular, it's just a Saint Bernard. Those are like the big fluffy puppy, you know, big fluffy dogs. They don't, you know.
Yeah, Beethoven.
Yeah.
Beethoven.
It turns into creepy, it's horrible animal.
Angry.
Yeah.
Well, see, because I was
like
raised on the
Beethoven
movies, and then I saw Cujo, and I was like, wait. That is not Beethoven.
Right.
No, that's like the
anti-Beethoven. Again, with like Pet Sematary, he did the same thing. It was just, I love the way you got a normal, you know, cute little family, and then just, bam, he's just going to tear the whole thing apart,
But it's so wonderful how
he does it.
Yeah. So
if you have
a fear
of dogs, that Cujo is not something to watch.
No, especially big dogs. That's a big dog too. I got bit when I was younger by this big dog. I was looking at him. You're not supposed to look at him in the eye or something like that. But he bit me from like the bottom of my nose all the way to like my neck. So it's pretty traumatizing for me. I know. It's horrible.
Oh my God.
Dog. So yeah, Cujo kind of scared me too. Well,
I think we lost somebody.
Did we? I'm having this weird like delayed thing going on, so it's kind of weird. I'm hearing things really strange tonight, but I think it's about time that we wrap up this first segment, and I hate that because I really enjoyed talking to you, Kendra. And I enjoyed talking to you too. What are you working on something right now, or are you? And where can we find your books? Give us a little plug there.
I'm working on about a million different things right now. I'm working on a book with P. Mattern that's paranormal romance. It's got a lot of different elements of different genres in it, though, called Vindicta. That's going to be a series as well. I'm working on Zombified, which is my first zombie series with actor from The Walking Dead, Santiago Cirillo. I am also working on the third book of that of the series that The Harvested starts off. And all of my books can be found on my on Amazon as well as my website. My website is ksauterauthor.com. Sorry. ksauterauthor.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for coming. And, you know, will you come back? Promise to come back. I'm putting you on the spot here, so.
Absolutely.
You gotta come back.
Absolutely. I would definitely come back. Yes, I would
Yay.
Come back.
Yay!
Yes, we're gonna
okay.
hold you to that.
Right. Yes,
yes
well, I talked
would.
Really well, so. Okay, I guess I'm gonna go to commercials now, Michael. Let's see.
Okay.
I wanted to say that. Oh, goodness, I'm not prepared tonight. Check out Jaded Book Publishing's brand new website at www.jadedbookspublishing.com. Jaded Book Publishing has opened submissions for Black Candy, their next anthology to be released Halloween Day. Black Candy is Halloween themed, so send in your best submissions with serial killers, monsters, creepy crawlies, and things that go bump in the night on Halloween. Submit to submissions at jadedbookspublishing.com. The deadline is September 15th. They're also still accepting submissions for a special dark poetry anthology, A Lovely Darkness Poetry with Heart, with all the proceeds going to St. Jude's the week of September 15th through the 21st. Please see their Facebook page for submission guidelines. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media, our Facebook page, unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our new website, www.panicroomradio.com.
All right, thank you very much, Xtina. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we will be back momentarily.
Yay.
Yeah.
are back. How is everyone? Are you still there with us?
I am still here, and I freaking love that song. I was totally grooving. I really was. I had to mute my own self because I knew if I didn't, you guys would hear my really horrible singing. And I know what people normally say. No. See, that's the funny part. When most people say they can't sing, and they just say it because they want people to say, "Oh no, you sound fine." No, that's not true with me. I really can't sing, so it would not be entertaining at all. It would just be horrible. You would laugh, and okay. Here's a classic example. When my kids were little, I used to sing to them, and my son was just a baby. I was holding him in my arms, and I was singing to him. And he actually put his hand up to my mouth, and he said, "Mommy, no." That's
oh
bad.
My God, that's terrible. It's bad.
I know.
Now, time is flying. We got another guest on the line here. Alex Johnson is with us. Hang on one second. Alex, you there?
Yeah. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
You are live on the Panic Room.
I am definitely live. Yeah, yeah.
There you are.
Yeah. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Just chilling out here. Got my rock star, so it's all good.
The energy drink helps.
The energy drink
does
help, yeah.
I was like, I don't understand. You're what? I got my beer out, so maybe that's my problem.
I have coffee.
I'm a rock star achiever, and a coffee achiever, and as long as it's got that zip to it, I'm there.
I'm really not a coffee drinker, so all those people who go crazy over their coffee in the mornings.
Yeah.
That's never me. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't get
it. You're not going to be one of those people who post these memes. It's like, just don't talk to me before I have my first coffee. And, like this religious aura that casts over the coffee cup. Oh, my God, look deep into its depths and, prognosticate your future. Drink me.
The coffee's power.
The coffee hour. Power.
So
you have a new book.
So Alex,
hold on.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to ask about that.
What's
the new book's called Skeleton Kiss.
Yeah, Skeleton Kiss.
So what
yes.
can you tell us about the new book?
Well, the Skeleton Kiss is it's actually I titled it after the fact. I love, the old, goths and death rock bands. And so actually that's a song by Roz Williams from the old Christian Death. And I just love the vibe so much. And it kind of goes along with the theme of the poems. I mean, some of them are just, flat out like experimental, I just sort of splatter some narrative threads together and see what happens, but I just really love the kind of decadent poetry of the 19th century, particularly like Baudelaire, Oscar Wilde, and these people, and I kind of see a resurgence of that coming back. Certainly, like some of the the people in weird fiction and. And allied genres. So that's inspired me actually. Kyle Opperman, who's a really really fine writer. He has a book called The Crimson Tome, and it's published by Hippocampus Press, I think. Anyway, he's one of these up and coming weird fiction and weird literature people, and he said he encouraged me to do a complete collection after I had a poem selected for the HWA Horror Poetry Showcase Volume 3, which was really an honor, you know. So I just had to put a whole book together of, you know, dark verse, and you know, it's erotic, it's horrific, it's, you know, it's kind of you know, steeped in the darkness. So
specifically, you're known for your spider punk, which is kind of cool that you've gone in this new direction.
Yeah, well, I mean, they aren't well, thank you. They aren't really that opposed in that I like, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine recently about this. Like, I don't really get the whole, you know, divisions between different kinds of, you know, genres. Like, I mean, it's all coming out of the same place, you know. I mean, splatterpunk was a thing in the 80s, and Scow and Skip and Spectre and those guys, you know, and they did it really, really well, I think, Ray Garden, and you know, the dark and decadent side of it is more, I think, of writers like Poppy Z. Bright and Caitlin R. Kiernan, and they, I think that thread, you know, was related, but it also goes back to, you know, the decadent literature. And so I think it's, you know, you can have your quiet horror, you can have, you know, Ramsey Campbell, who I adore, and you can have, you know, Craig Spector, and you can have, you know, you can have both without having to say, oh, well, you know, I'm, you know, I belong to the splatterpunks, and I've got the tattoo and everything, so, you know.
Right, which a lot of people do kind of, I mean, I consider myself a splatterpunk author, but I don't have the tattoo yet.
Yeah, there was a bumper sticker, you know, it was back in the day, there was a bookstore in Santa Monica, I think, Venice Beach, that was kind of like the focus point of all the splatterpunks, you know, early on back in the day. And, you know, they sold the bumper sticker. But, you know, apparently it started out as a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
It was, when did Skip, who actually started that?
It was like, I don't know, I think like mid 80s or something like that. I mean, Light at the End and then the Kill Riff, and those were like major splatterpunk, sort of seminal splatterpunk work, so to speak.
Yeah, I know. Even Layman got kind of lumped in.
Yeah, Layman too, who I haven't really read Layman as much as, I mean, you know, some people are like, you know, to them he's a god, and to me he was, you know, an impeccable, you know, stylist, and he wrote a great story, but somehow to me it just seems contrived, and that's just, you know, that's just me, but more power to, you know, whoever you like, that's what makes you happy, and you know, I'm not gonna kill anybody's buzz over Layman. You know, I like Edward Lee personally, as the, like, who's like the next generation of, you know, of splatter, and then splatter spunk invented, which I think is just so brilliant.
You know, I'm sitting back here, and I don't know what splatterpunk is, so somebody explain it to me, because I have no clue. You know, somebody tell me.
It's a darker genre of fiction, basically, you know, that you have your typical horror, and then you have splatterpunk, which I would say covers more rounds of gore and mayhem. So, Alex?
I think as well that... there was a lot of sort of a rock and roll attitude too. I mean, like, you know, Skip and Spector are both musicians. Craig went to the Berklee School of Music, and you know, they're rockers. I think Skip actually had an album out back in like 1972 or something. So, you know, these are people, and R.C. Matheson is a drummer. So there's that, and then there's Hollywood, or there's that, you know, there's the cinematic aspect, very, very vivid, hyper visual. And I think more oriented towards like the movies and, you know, popular culture, popular media than their predecessors, you know, but still I don't see this, you know, strict division. I mean, like somebody like, you know, Richard Matheson, he wrote Hell House, which to me is like proto splatterpunk. And if you go back like a couple of centuries, you have books like The Monk, you know, which is like, oh, it's really, really hardcore stuff. You know, you have the Gothic novels, and you have like Marquis de Sade, and so I don't see. Yeah, I think it's a continuum, and it's great. It's all good. You know.
It is definitely, you know, and there's so many different genres of splatterpunk. It's just amazing. And we actually have a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and pop her in real quick. I believe we have Deb on the line. Deb, you there?
Oh, hi. I'm here. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you just fine.
Hey.
Okay. Well, first off, I want to say I am one of those coffee people, so do not talk to me before I've had my coffee. And I have to set my my coffee maker every night before bed. And if I don't, I am the biggest bitch in the morning because I actually have to stand there and wait for it instead of it being ready for me. So
actually, I found a cure for that. I have a Keurig, like one cup. So like I hook that up like while the coffee's brewing, so that way I have a cup right there.
There you go.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Well, then next time I forget, there's my solution. See, I knew I was calling in for a reason tonight. So, I guess I will ask, I mean, we are Facebook friends. I think we're all Facebook friends. And I know I was stalking your page a little bit, Alex, because I knew that I was going to call in. I love the fact that you post naps. I love that.
Yeah.
I myself am a professional napper.
Take
great pride.
It's important, I think, not only to nap, but to, you know, own the nappage.
Exactly. Thank you.
Because, you know, it's like you have this battery. And you need to, you know, fill it up again, you know, so you can be on the air and, you know, talk to people. And
thank you. Yes, I enjoyed. I came home and I took a 3-hour nap this afternoon from 4 to 7. It was amazing.
No, that's not a nap.
Yeah.
That's a sleep. That is not a nap.
No. Oh, that's a nap.
No. Like I said, I'm a professional napper. That's a nap.
Yeah, I actually...
Yes.
I actually don't
wake her. She's a professional.
I'm more of the kind of person who will just go and go and go until they crash. I can't sleep because I can't get my brain to shut down. So that's why you'll catch me, you know, up at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I just cannot sleep, and I think I'm like this cranky
toddler running around. They make many pills for that, and I take a couple of them before bed. So,
you know, that's remember Johnny Cash had that song, you know, Ring of Fire.
Yes.
You know, that's what it's all about. It's like you're up, and then you have to go down, and then you're up again, and it's like that Ring of Fire is closing in, man.
That's the nice thing is, if you have ADD and you drink coffee, it's your right to sleep.
Squirrel.
Exactly.
Butterfly.
So, yes, I mean, I pretty much called in, you know, for the debauchery and the fuckery and the shenanigans. And,
those are full supply tonight, man. You know,
that's right.
I tried to get a no-pants party going on, but, you know.
Oh, God.
And Kendra were not
Alex,
having any of
secret.
That. Man. You know, a guy can try, right?
That's awesome. Exactly. What's going to happen if you try? That's right. You got a 50-50 chance.
If there's shenanigans afoot, you're always successful.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. I'm always up for shenanigans.
Okay.
Oh, you know, I was going to say that I don't know who all knew this, but I am actually I'm going to ask, when is your book due out, Alex? When is your release date?
Oh, it's actually you're my editor, so you should know.
You know,
things.
I was going to say that. Oh, goodness. How did you know
that? I was going to ask you. No, it's October 14th.
Okay, well, see, that's what I was going to lead up to. I was going to say that, you know, being that I'm editing this, and I get like a special sneak peek, it is really good.
Thank you.
I hate to admit that I don't read a whole lot of poetry, and because well, for one thing, I think that all writers and authors have a little bit of a problem with, self-esteem, maybe? I don't know if that's the right word I'm looking for. Confidence, maybe. I don't know. And so I know that there's times that I read other poets and I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're really good. And that kind of intimidates me a little bit. But I don't read a lot of poetry, and because a lot of the times I find like the styles are so different that I don't really get it. But I'm really enjoying, you know, and it's not just editing. I'm also reading it. And there are times I'll go a whole page where I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be editing. What am I doing? I'm just reading. So it's really good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
and,
no
you know,
problem.
Guys, we are running.
It helps when your editor actually likes it, you know.
Oh, God, it does.
It was a plus.
I am not going to say anything else about that because I am editing a lot of other things. That, you know, at times it becomes a job when, you know, you don't really like or you don't get it sometimes.
Oh, I will raise my hand to that one.
And, guys, we quickly run out of time.
I also edit, and it's hard when you don't enjoy it. So
yeah. I was always wondering that myself because I read a lot, and if I start to read something that I don't care for, I can just put it up. But when it's your job, you can't do that. You have going. So.
Oh yes.
we have got about six seconds, guys. So, Alex, where can we find your when your book's coming out? What, October 14th?
October 14th, yeah.
And that's coming through Jaded?
That's coming through, yep, Jaded. And I want to give a shout-out to Casey here for accepting the book. And, you know, really, I've had great experiences with working with Jaded, it's a really good up and coming, you know, very very professional outfit. So
well, we really thank you for coming, Alex. We're going to be cut off any second, and I don't want to do that to you. So will you come back and visit us again when the book comes out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And I wanted to thank everybody for. Yeah, thank everybody for listening to the Panagram tonight. I'm Xtina Marie, and join us next week.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night, guys.
Good night.
Night.